The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. This red lager is specially brewed for proud veterans across the country. For every case purchased, Budweiser will donate $1 to Fold of Honor, a nonprofit providing scholarships to families of fallen soldiers. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
It's been a long week, needless to say, but here I am. I am back in studio. Tommy is out today. We're going to be joined by Tyler Wilson, former Razorback quarterback, here after a while as well. It's going to be getting some thoughts and opinions on him because there were a few of the coaches that went yesterday, like Gus Malzahn, and some of the topics that got brought up with him that we're going to discuss more in text. And also the crazy comments by Larry Fedora, the North Carolina head football coach. That was a weird one. And if you haven't heard those, we're going to have those for you. And I definitely want to get Tyler's opinions on that as well. So I get back from SEC Media Days and vacation. I'm back in the studio, and if you could probably tell from my voice, it's been a long time since I've been back, and I was very tired, very exhausted. It's been a ongoing deal where I've had to go back and forth all over the place, so I don't think I'm getting sick, but I'm trying to fight off a few of the frog in my throat, and it's been a difficult challenge as far as that goes. But you know, folks, I got to tell you, there's a few things that were discussed yesterday during SEC Media Days. And one of the things that I want to bring up is the 9-game schedule in SEC play. Gus Malzahn is starting to come around on this idea. In fact, he even said, quote, "I've changed my tune. I'm all for SEC having 9 conference games to equal out the league as far as schedule goes." And I think Nick Saban's been the only one that's been for it, but I also think it's best for us moving forward. I think it would put more equity as far as strength of schedule in the conference. So when I first heard that comment, I immediately started thinking about a 9-game SEC schedule, who I've been a big advocate for. Because there is no doubt that the divisions in general between the SEC West and SEC East have been quite different over the past decade or two. You look at basketball and putting in an example of why divisions sometimes can be more detrimental to a team or to a conference than actually having divisions. When you have the SEC West with no good teams that are in basketball, we're using the basketball model for example, no good teams, nobody's really competitive, then when SEC tournament play comes around, they get a 1 seed and they get rewarded for being a bad team, where the SEC East has about 4 or 5 teams that are really good, and it's kind of been cannibalizing each other over there in that division. It could be said for the same thing in football. The SEC West has been dominant. The most dominant division in all of college football. Mainly because you have Alabama in the division. But it's not just been Alabama. Auburn has had its day. LSU has had its day. Throw in some other teams that had a good season here or there, like a Texas A&M, or an Ole Miss, or Mississippi State, or even Arkansas. All teams, in fact, if you just look back since 2010, so the past 8 years, every single team in the SEC West has been a top 5 team at some point. Let that soak in. Every team in the SEC West since 2010 has been a top 5 team at some point. There's no other division that's done that. So I want to see as many of those games as possible. And if you look at the other side with the SEC East, I know it's been down, and it may be, all things considered, down again this year. But it's starting to really come up. When you have Kirby Smart added to Georgia, you see the element that he brings. Dan Mullen's been added to Florida. I think that'll be great for them. Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee, I think, is going to be better than what they've had for sure from Derek Dooley or Lane Kiffin or Butch Jones. I don't know if it'll be high-level success, but it'll be success nonetheless. So I like what Jeremy Pruitt's bringing. Will Muschamp's been there a little bit. Still not too concerned about Vanderbilt and Kentucky, not even really Missouri. But still, you have a few teams in there that'll be able to add extra elements of competitiveness and extra games for entertainment. And that's really what it's all about. And I could be wrong about this, folks. And if I'm wrong, you are welcome to call in or tweet at me or whatever to tell how wrong I am. But I feel like that would just be more entertaining for us as fans, us as spectators of the game of college football. Who would you rather see? Alabama play Missouri State? Or would you like to see Alabama play Georgia in the regular season? Or if you're an Arkansas fan, think about it this way. Would you rather see Arkansas play Tulsa? Would you rather see them play South Carolina or Tennessee? Now, this year you may not want to play either any SEC games because of how bad it's going to be, or at least how it looks like how bad it's going to be on paper. But you get my point. It's all about what you want to be entertained as by a fan. You want to see better quality games. It's difficult to try to figure out how a 9-game schedule would work logistically. I think that when you add into the factor that these teams have, a lot of them have to have Power 5 non-conference games, in the SEC it's required. We'd have to look at that rule and see how would that change, or if it would change it at all. But I'm all for it, and I'm glad Gus Malzahn and Nick Saban are for it, because those are the two long-tenured coaches in this league, arguably the longest-tenured coaches in this league, especially Nick Saban. And Nick Saban especially also has the most clout, was able to bring up any topic that he needs to bring up, and usually at least gets people to listen. So if they decide to go to a 9-game schedule, they have my vote in it. I don't know if it'll happen. I know that people probably will bring up reasons of why it shouldn't happen. But hey, I'm about the entertainment. I'm about the game. I'm about the show. I'm about the performance. I'm about all those things. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to watch. And I think that's what the national media and the national fan base want to watch when they tune into college football. Think about the extra money that would be brought in. The television deals. More people watching these games. College football is great right now. It's as good as you could ask, if not even better than what you could ask. But I'm always, that's just maybe my mentality, but I am always looking for different ways to improve the game, improve the product. No matter if it's great right now or not, always looking for ways. I believe adding another game to the SEC schedule only makes sense. It's the right choice. It's the right deal. And we'll also get a better idea of who actually are the best teams in this conference instead of just having the guess. We have the SEC championship game to decide who's the best of the two division winners. But I want to know who's the best down the entire 1 through 14. That's just me. You're welcome to disagree with me, but I just feel like it makes the most sense.
The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. This red lager is specially brewed for proud veterans across the country. For every case purchased, Budweiser will donate $1 to Fold of Honor, a nonprofit providing scholarships to families of fallen soldiers. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
So Tyler, one of the things that I also wanted to ask you about is these comments by Larry Fedora, the head coach of North Carolina, which has caused quite a stir from a lot of people. And Paul Feinbaum, I know, went off on him. Basically, to give everybody an idea, he was asked about player safety and the way that the game is played now. And this is what he had to say. He says, our game is under attack. I don't think it's been proven that the game of football causes CTE. We really don't know that. Are there chances for concussions? Of course, there are collisions. But the game is safer than it's ever been. A lot of people are criticizing him for his comments and saying that, hey, we don't know that CTE and football are completely correlated. And people are saying that if he's the type that's running this football program, he's not the type of leader you want of men and not the type of guy that you want to be in charge of your kid's safety. But you played quarterback, and I know you've dealt with your own share of injuries. What did you make of his comments?
Well, in some ways, I agree with his comments, and I know that surprised you earlier when you brought it up. You're like, Tyler, I kind of agree. I agree because I do think the game is under attack. However, am I a doctor? No. Do I have all the stats and statistics of what they've diagnosed and what they have found with CTE? I don't have that information. But what I do know is that collisions cause concussions. Concussions are are reported to be the cause of dementia, CTE, memory loss later on down the line, and potentially a root of that disease. Now, so not just football, but any collision-based sport or activity or accidents, you know, you're more susceptible to that. And, you know, football is one of those sports, along with boxing, along with, you know, MMA and any of these other activities where you're constantly in contact and there's a collision and your brain's susceptible. So, you know, I think football is under attack because football is the most iconic sport in the United States. It is the most reputable sport in the United States. I think, you know, basketball has had its time. It had its luster in the mid-90s. Baseball, you know, it's America's greatest pastime, and we're about to get some phone calls in now, right?
Yeah.
But it's had its luster. But right now, football's the dominant sport in the United States. It's why we make a living talking about football, 5 out of 5 days on the radio. And we sprinkle in some of that other stuff and we talk for 5 minutes about golf. And today this weekend is the biggest sports weekend for golf. And we've spent 5 minutes on it. You know, and every single day we talk about the sport of which Larry Fedora, rightfully so, it feels is under attack. And every soccer mom, quote-unquote soccer mom, because they're letting the kids play soccer when they're young because they're not, you know, they're not mature enough to play football. I don't have any problem with it. But that, I think that's where what he's going at and what he's dealing with, and a lot of coaches are dealing with, probably have very similar opinions to Larry Fedora.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. And the fact that he just came out and was so adamant about it, I think, was what shocked people, for one. But, you know, player safety is just one of those issues that is always just a hot topic moment. I mean, what would Brett Bielema, and, you know, how he was just hammering that home all the time and how he's so against the hurry-up, no-huddle offense, and him and Gus Malzahn had their spars, or Cliff Kingsbury or whoever. You know, there was those issues that were kept getting risen up by Brett Bielema, by others, saying that the game is, you know, we got to change this because it's not safe. And the studies show that as far as offensive philosophies, there's really no correlation as far as injuries go. But, you know, with what Fedora is saying, I guess it's just, I don't know if it's the way that the culture is now or society is or whatever, but, you know, people automatically take what he's saying as saying that he does not care about player safety. And I think that's unfair to throw on him, because I don't think that if you ask his players or anything like that, I just feel like he is taking something where, you know, like football, for instance, people are ripping and roaring football for so many different reasons, and some of them are justified and some of them may be an exaggeration. But, you know, I think that the best perspective to get from stuff like this are players that played, and, you know, trying to get people to understand exactly what the impact of having concussions and having these issues are, and maybe some possible solutions and whatnot. But the problem is that I don't know, and I could be wrong on this, and you can disagree with me, Tyler. I see that if people sign up for the sport, if they love the sport, if they play the sport, sometimes injury, and I'm not saying CTE is okay, but I still believe that if you're signing up for it, you got to know what you're signing up for, and you got to know the risk that go into it.
Agree. But and you know, these coaches in college, when the players aren't getting paid and they're not getting sued by the players, then let's go to the NFL then, and let's figure out why players with a history of concussions are not getting signed to certain contracts, are not getting involved, and the length of their career is greatly shortened, mine being a prime example, because of the potential effect of what they're going to have to answer down the line. And, you know, I mean, you don't want to have that liability on your roster. And the NFL's, man, let's take our hands so far off of this. So, you know, on one end, the coach wants to be, you know, the guys, let's play through it. You know, this is not as big a deal. This is overblown. It's brought up by scientists and lawyers to create, you know, a financial effect and bubble for either past players or future players. And I agree, there's some of that to it, but there's also a direct correlation. And, you know, in college, there are guys that are out there that are susceptible to this thing daily that aren't in the same position that I think a lot of people in the NFL are in, their careers are shortened by it, because, you know, our hands are off now. You know, so right. I think that's an interesting perspective. It's a perspective that I have, that I've personally been involved in and engaged in. And, you know, I think that's, you know, it's a serious issue, regardless of the situation or why it is being discussed as one of the premier issues in football at this point.
Do you think anything needs to change? Do you think anything needs to be improved on? Or is there any solution to it? I mean, have people talk about it, and this is what needs to happen. But, you know, you want to try to maintain the spirit of the game while not also making sure that you protect players as much as possible, too.
I don't think there's a solution to it. I really don't. I don't think that there's a solution to minimizing contact in the game of football. If you want to minimize contact, I mean, right now you've got Michael Vick and you've got, you know, Gerard Johnson and some of these guys. Gerard played at Texas A&M, big arm. These guys are, even some of, I mean, Keyshawn and some of these other guys that are major players and had been, either they're Hall of Fame guys or will be Hall of Fame guys, or, you know, the lower level guys that really never got a shot. They're all playing in these. It's not even arena league. It's you know, these shell flag football leagues, and they're on the NFL Network right now. You're in the off season, and you're able to watch Michael Vick play a 7-on-7 game against, you know, against some of these guys, and that's entertaining. It's exciting. It's not football, but it's a form of football where there is no contact. And you're still able to see the athleticism and the same things that I think, you know, you're interested in and enjoy watching. I think that's interesting. That's still not football, though, you know, and so I don't think there's a way you can minimize it. And, you know, as long as the legalization of and the dollars and cents are there to either combat on the attorneys and the player side, the NFL is going to be very careful on what the protocols are and making sure their you know, T's are crossed and their I's are dotted on all contractual issues, and it limits players' ability to play in some cases. And you know, I think that is right, wrong, or a difference. It's just the nature of the game.
Yeah, and the thing is, I will agree with Larry Fedora, because, again, I, on this issue, it's such a touchy one for someone like me who I didn't play. I didn't play in that the high level of college football or in the NFL or anything like that, and it's just a matter of I don't know what the right or wrong answer is, because I know people have such strong opinions on it. But my thing is like, listen, I think that the people that need to be listened to the most and talked to about it is, of course, the players that played and exactly the impacts that it's had. But I also feel like there has to be a very well-done research and study and telling people and trying to educate people as much as possible and saying, these are the risks that come with playing a sport like this. It's not to say that, because injuries happen in every sport, but it's just, you know, if you want to play at this high level, if you want to get to this point, you know, sadly, unfortunately, these are kind of the things, that consequences that could possibly come with it. I think people need to be educated on the issue as much as possible.